Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This morning's episode is a follow-up of my previous show, which dealt with Paul's understanding of the behavior of persons within the church in the last days. And so I'm going to be reading once again from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. And so it reads, This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, which means powerless or without self-control, fierce or savage, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. And this word is literally, in the Greek, the word is smoke, and here this word symbolizes pride. Lovers of pleasures, plural. In other words, Christian Epicureans, as it were. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, or avoid. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist or fight against the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate, literally cast away, or castaways, plural, concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs also was. Now, what is fascinating about this particular passage is that Paul is speaking about persons who comprise the church of God. And so, this is Paul's understanding of spiritual morbidity in the church in the last days. And according to verse 2, all of these behaviors, now these behaviors are not singular, but they manifest themselves in the lives of persons in a multitude of ways. Or a person, in other words, a person will not only be a blasphemer, period, and stops there, but the character, as it were, of these individuals are laid out before us, and we're being told here about the multitudinous sins that comprises their character or their characters. And so I want to begin this morning in verse 3, without natural affection. Here, literally, without or no family love. No family love. This is very interesting when one considers what the verse 2, which states that men shall be lovers of their own selves. And it's unfortunate that we don't really appreciate the nature of narcissism. And so I've entitled this morning's show, The Cult of Narcissistic Spiritual Morbidity in the Church in the Last Days. So, without natural affection for those who are of one's own family, no love for the members or one's own family. And one must go back to verse 2 in order to understand the profound nature of what Paul is saying here. Verse 2, men shall be lovers of their own selves. And here in verse 2, this means primarily these persons are concerned with ease and pleasantries and exclusively concerned for with exclusive concern for oneself and one's own interest, period. In other words, selfishness. And there is this hardness of heart that Paul is speaking about here. And if you want to get more detail about this particular passage, I would recommend reading Paul's letter to the Romans. In the book of Romans, Paul lays out for us this is a systematic understanding of soteriology, but Paul speaks in great detail about the flesh or the sarx and what the sarx is and or what it can do to the spiritual life of an individual. Paul tells believers in Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 11, Paul writes, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof." Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, Paul is elucidating for us what this is. That is, the lusts of the flesh. The word lust in Greek is epithumias, and it literally means all types of inordinate desires that goes on within the heart. Now, this is biblical anthropology. This is Pauline anthropology, that is, the revelation that God gave to Paul about the flesh. Hence, believers who attempt to circumnavigate the will of God by going to counselors who do not have a deep understanding of sin do themselves a world of hurt, because it is important that believers understand what God, that is, what the will of God is for their lives. And the idea of a person attempting to go to another individual and have that individual say things about sin that will comfort the person who is in distress, who is in spiritual distress. Because when believers sin, sin does create spiritual distress, or it should. Because sin breaks one's fellowship with God. We are told in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sin, homologeo, literally, which means to agree with God, that we have sinned. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Very important doctrines. He is faithful. God is faithful. God is always faithful. God does not sin against me. God does not have wrong or inappropriate thoughts against me. God does not plan to sin against me. He is faithful and just. He has already forgiven us of our sins through the cross, through the finished work of Christ. He is faithful and just to forgive us. That is, aphame, to send off from us the penalty of our sin. Christ Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. Now, having said that, I must also state that God forgives us the penalty of our sin, but then we deal with the consequences of our sin, which many believers do not get. And so this passage that we are looking at and studying this morning is a result of a dumbing down of biblical, true biblical scholarship for believers. This is what happens when there is a dumbing down of the understanding of the sovereignty of God over our lives. This is what happens when God becomes a heavenly bellboy who is there to solve our problems instead of us understanding what God has done for us and bowing to the authority of God in Christ Jesus. Bowing before God with thanksgiving and understanding that our salvation costs God everything. And so therefore, Paul speaks of persons in the church in the last days as being unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. But let me go on in Romans 6. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So, let's look a little deeper into the passage. Beginning in verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. The word for instruments here is hopla, H-O-P-L-A. Hopla means instruments of war. Your members, neither yield you your members as instruments of war or instruments of unrighteousness. And this is a very, very serious and telling passage. But yield yourselves unto God, And here, yield is in the aorist imperative. Do it at once. This is a command. Do it at once, and do it once for all. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. This is very deep and rich doctrine. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Hopla, weapons of war for God's purposes. Weapons of war for God's purposes. So, this is where believers are to be. This is the command that God has given to believers. And our lives should exemplify the command of God. Our lives should show that we are walking in humble obedience to the word of the living God. There is a story about this pastor who was caught in sexual behavior with some young persons who attended his church, well, the church of which he was pastor. And when this was revealed, many problems broke out. But a very interesting phenomenon happened. And I immediately went back to the Word of God, didn't go and read some of my counseling books. I went back to the Word of God because what was really interesting is that this man stayed on as pastor. He stayed on in the pulpit, and these people remained under his leadership, such as it was. Never read about this man getting any type of intervention, appropriate counseling intervention on any level. And so I saw a video recently in which this same person who God had shown his behavior in the light of day for all the world to see. This is what God did for David. David sinned with Bathsheba in secret, and God said, I'm going to expose what you did to the light of day. See, what is done in darkness will be shouted from the rooftop. God says this. God did it. God forgave David of his sin, but David suffered consequences of his sin, and that God said to David through Nathan the prophet, the sword will never depart from your house. The sword will never depart from your house. So there's a video of this particular man who said, and he was being emotional, he wept, and of course that draws people in. It was theater, it was theatrics. And so he said that what comforted him was, he said, speaking to the congregation, he said, it was you. And he also said this: it was not a scripture. It was you. Now, that language was very interesting. It was not a scripture that comforted me. It was you. See, here are people that are the spiritual hostages of this individual's behavior. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul has this clinical story for us. This is a clinical story. Verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, excuse me, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And I would have you to read all the way down to verse 13 in order to really delve into what Paul is talking about here and why this case was chosen by the Holy Spirit to be placed in the canon of Scripture. Because God wants us to see something very important about human behavior and about those who profess to be believers. Observe this instance of spiritual morbidity. The word term morbidity means of or causing disease or to be diseased. This is spiritual morbidity, and this is very interesting that this group of people did not handle this situation appropriately. Now, there was a positive end to this a particular situation. But look what God had to say through Paul to the believing ones at Ephesus. Notice what he had to bring up. Notice what he had to bring before them so that they might understand what this sin is doing to them as a group. Paul taught these believers doctrine. He taught them powerfully. And what will happen and what has happened in the last days is that believers will reject doctrine, or professed believing ones will reject doctrine. And so back in 2 Timothy 3, verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers. This is an old term, and it means no reconciliation. No reconciliation. So, this is a unit, that is, the sinful behavior that Paul is speaking about here, again, this is holistic, as it were. No reconciliation. People who will go on fighting. People who do not find it within themselves to forgive and move on. I want you to see that at the foundation of everything that we have discussed so far is pride. The Bible states in the book of Proverbs that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so what we have here is pride manifesting itself through the sarx, through the flesh. False accusers. Very interesting. Or literally, diabolos. The word in Greek is literally devils. Devils. Diabolos, we have the Greek preposition dia, D-I-A, with the root ballo, which means to cast. And so diaboloi, plural, are those who divide people for no reason. These are individuals who sow conflict. The term devil in the Greek is diabolos, and it means the one who divides people for no reason. And here we have persons who are called by Paul diaboloi. These are individuals who divide people for no reason. And so from there flows incontinent, which means powerless or no self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, part of the fruit of the Spirit, is self-control. These people are powerless. They have no self-control. Fierce, savage, and very interesting. All of these terms are very interesting. Despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. These individuals, you can read about them in Romans 1:31, war with those who love God, who want to faithfully serve God, who believe in the will of God for their lives. There is so much to bring out in this passage, and I'm not going to be able to complete it all in this edition of A Sound Heart Radio. In the next show, we will continue in this passage. And please come and listen and invite others also to listen to these very important shows. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you and have a wonderful day.